from FoxSports.com, also from SwollenDome.com, joining us on the Bob and Rob Show as he does every Tuesday. Mike Harmon, Mike, Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh, Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez. Who do you think wins the Super Bowl first?
Who are the other 10 guys standing behind him on the offensive side of the ball, and who's playing defense? In the end, I think I'd go your side.
Well, you're a smart man.
Especially if they're going to go and try to take advantage and exploit what they saw early and often. They could have put 60 points on that team on Sunday if they wanted to. So Spagnuolo was doing some crying, saying that their wives shouldn't be talking to the Harbaughs anymore because of the beatdown. And, well, so be it.
You know, why not looking ahead now to the Jets? And we saw what the Raiders did running the football with great success. Even though the Ravens did throw the ball all over Raymond James Dome against the Rams, New York has a better secondary. We think they have a better defense overall, but they struggle stopping the run. Why not get a heavy dose of Ricky and Ray Rice this
heavy
Sunday?
Dose of them early and then take your shots downfield. The fact that, you know, I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned the Raiders, how Torrey Smith isn't a Raider. I mean, all they do is clock guys and draft them. How wasn't he selected by Oakland before you guys got a shot at him? Watching him sprint up and down the field, and the scary thing is they had a couple of near misses with him before the fireworks started. So I think you're right. I think you see a lot of Ray Rice. You got the power run started, but should open things up downfield. And as we saw even last week against Oakland, there were spots for Campbell to find his receivers downfield.
This city has been very conservative, offensively natured for a long time, since great defenses and winning the football games by running the football and short passing games. A lot of the comments were made yesterday and some today about the Ravens not running the football enough. I don't know about you, but for the first time in a long time, I saw the Baltimore Ravens exploit a defense for what they could not do. And if that's being thrown the football 50 times, I'm okay with it.
Well, it just catches up with the rest of the league, right? I mean, look at what your stats were. Felix Jones last night going over 100 yards was only the fourth guy to go over 100 rushing yards this week. That tells you where the league is in terms of firing the ball downfield on all cylinders. And, you know, certainly Baltimore and New York, there's so many things that you can compare them to. And, I mean, the caller had the great question that now you run it on. I mean, they're built the same way. But as you're seeing with Sanchez, and you saw it with Flacco this week, if the opportunity presents itself, they're going to do it. And they tried to make that move by bringing in Lee Evans. Unfortunately, he hasn't been healthy. So now you've got the speedy youngster out there to do it. And I think you're going to see more of it. I mean, Ray Rice is just as explosive in the passing game as he is the runner. So if you can get him out in space where he's taking fewer direct shots, I think everybody wins long term.
Now, as we look ahead a little bit, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. And yeah, throwing the football is nice, and these big stats are real fancy and highlight worthy. You're talking November, December in Baltimore, in Pittsburgh, in New England, in New York. You're going to have some kind of effective running game because it's not as easy to throw that football.
No, certainly. But if that means that Ray Rice takes 10 or 8 or however many fewer direct shots early in the season, I think I'm feeling better that he's going to be at 100% come the end of the season, and that it doesn't have to become Ricky Williams has to carry you into the playoffs. Not that to say that he couldn't, but it's awfully nice to have that speed and power combo going at it. And as we look ahead down the schedule, Indianapolis, never known for being run stuffers, although they did a fantastic job against Mendenhall the other day. That banged up Pittsburgh offensive line is going to get somebody killed before it's all said and done. San Diego couldn't take care of business against Kansas City, requiring late heroics. Cleveland is Cleveland. Cincinnati, they may all be suspended by the time you guys get to week 17. So, you know, as you look down the stretch, if you're able to run the ball with two of those schemes at home, you'll be ready to go.
You know, the going around the league, the New England Patriots coming off of a huge road test in Buffalo. Well, they go right into another one because I think this game against Oakland is going to be yet another test for them.
Well, you can't stop the run if you get to the outside. I mean, Will Fork, if you try to run between the tackles, will get you. But a little bit on the outside, and as we've seen with Denarius Moore stepping up, they're expecting Jacoby Ford back. You know, they're good enough at least can stretch a little bit defensively. They haven't seen New England really stop anybody to this point. So Jason Campbell, if anything, you know he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's very careful with the ball, almost to his detriment at times. But they're opening it up a little bit, and as you saw with Flacco on Sunday, they're willing to take chances with the speed guys downfield. And I think that could make things interesting. I mean, heading into Oakland, where the at least for running back right now, New England doesn't have an identity. And if they want to engage in the let's just wing it downfield, I think Oakland will be able to hang with them.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, also SwollenDome.com here on the Bob and Rob Show. One of the pleasant surprises of the NFL season. Obviously, Mike, the Buffalo Bills 3-0, knocking off the Patriots this past weekend. Ryan Fitzpatrick's having a huge year. Fred Jackson's up there among the rushing leaders. Are they in it for the long haul, or is this one of these, okay, we're good in September, let's see what Father Time brings us as the season rolls on?
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, except, you know, for trying to engage in a shootout with New England, and they had to do it in week two with Oakland. How good are they? They haven't really faced a monster defense yet. Don't know that this week's test against Cincinnati necessarily does it, but they're a better defensive ball club than I think most are giving them credit for, and it is a road game, so it'll be interesting to see how well they can pin things down. A bunch of moving parts in Cincinnati with, you know, Simpson and Cedric Benson and so on. So they've got some, you know, internal work to do, as Marvin Lewis always does. But, you know, as we look at them long term, I mean, you've got some interesting parts at wide receiver, and Johnson and Nelson and Donald Jones, who's a nice speed guy as well. Chandler set up. It just, I don't know that you can stay in the frenetic pace type of games, and eventually the going to fall back on the other side if you're going to try to engage in shootouts. I mean, that defense has come up with some big stops and some tip balls you saw against Brady this week, but early on, you know, they had their way with them and just didn't have the running game to bury him.
Mike, you talk about a team who's searching for identity, the Atlanta Falcons. Week one, they gave up 30 points. Week two, they gave up 31 points and won. And then when they finally get a little defense, they can't score more than 13 points. This is a team 1-2. You didn't expect to start. And again, going into the season, I thought they would win double-digit games, but no substance whatsoever. I know we're only 3 games into it, but that's who they are.
Got to be a little nervous right now if you're a fan of the Atlanta Falcons, particularly when a guy who's had his way with a run defense for years, in that Michael Turner, 20 yards on 11 carries the other night. They let Roddy White and Julio Jones do their thing between the 20s, but in the red zone they stiffened a lot of youngsters on that defense for Tampa, and you know their offense makes you want to go. It's vomit-inducing as well, so not much to write home about there. I mean, it was one of the uglier games that you saw this week, and they didn't even have the excuse of, you know, the hailstorms or whatever was going on in Carolina. It looked like end of days or CGI effects. But, you know, with Atlanta right now, Matt Ryan has always struggled on the road, so we knew that. Those were the 8 games you had to see how many they were able to steal, and so far, 0-2.
And I know they're going to Seattle, but after that, it doesn't get that much easier. Green Bay, Carolina's not an easy out, and the Detroit Lions, and that's on the road.
Well, you got Carolina will keep flinging it. They're interesting. They go to Chicago this week, a team that has zero identity except that, you know, it's also ugly football. You have Seattle, where this past week they did the rah-rah win one for Pete Carroll and got the big win against Arizona. It'll be curious to see what they do week two. I mean, Sidney Rice came in and really changed the complexion of what they were able to do offensively, at least stretch the field a little bit where Tavares Jackson hadn't been able to do that. And I guess Sidney Rice probably got Tavares Jackson his contract, so he's going to take care of him as often as he can. The key is they haven't been able to run the ball. So Atlanta's run defense, usually fairly stout, and it's a big road test. If they stub their toe here, panic mode sets in.
Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, SwollenDome.com, here on the Bob and Rob Show, 105.7 The Fan. Now, last week, Houston and New Orleans engaged in a big shootout game, 900-plus yards of offense, very exciting. Houston, however, had that game, let it slip away. Was that a case of, hey, it's New Orleans, their offense can do this against anyone, or the same old Texans when it comes to defense?
seems like the same old Texans defensively, at least early on. I mean, you know, you had a couple of big weeks, and I think over the long haul they'll be better with Phillips there. You go to the records, he'd always beaten Kerry Collins, and, well, we've seen what the Colts are, at least offensively, through three games. And then week two, you know, the Dolphins, how exciting are they? I mean, they're 0-3, not very good, very inconsistent. And then New Orleans, thing is, they couldn't run out the clock. I mean, Ben Tate had a good game, not an overwhelming game. And offensively, inside the red zone, they've been just absolutely awful, which has been a hallmark of the Gary Kubiak era. So, you know, they've got a test this week. Pittsburgh comes in, you know, licking their wounds. I mean, they escaped with a win this past week, but, you know, they did everything they could to give that game away to Indianapolis. So, be curious to see what kind of plan Wade Phillips has to go after Roethlisberger this week.
Well, Mike, I'm not just defending my Houston stance here, but, I mean, New Orleans, the same team that shredded apart that Green Bay Packers defense, is pretty good as well.
Who hasn't? Even Jay Cutler threw for 300 yards.
That's right.
Week, and he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, I mean, just that's an outstanding offense.
He can hit it with his body because that's all he's throwing into things.
He's just taking one hit after another. But, you know, it's hard to defend them at this point because, you know, they haven't shown it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, before we let you roll out of here, Mike Harmon, FoxSports.com, let's switch to baseball here. And the Orioles win last night 6-3 over the Red Sox. Boston in full-on meltdown mode. They are tied now with Tampa for the American League wild card. Your thoughts on a team, the Red Sox, Mike, that hasn't won back-to-back games since August? Are we looking at one of the historic meltdowns? The Mets a couple years ago. Yeah. I know the 64 Phillies are always brought up, but where's this one going to rank?
I think you're right in that ranks, right? 17 losses in 22. The pitching, which was the hallmark, they thought, you know, offensively they'd score their runs, and they still are. Third most runs in the month of September. Pitching-wise, 5.85 ERA. That's only better than the White Sox, who just kicked Ozzie Guillen out the door. Lots of thoughts on that whole nonsense, but we'll save that for
that's your team there, the White Sox.
Well, yeah.
Ozzie thanked the media on his way out. That was a change.
Well, I just like the fact that life is about money. I don't want to die White Sox poor. Anybody who says it's not about money made their money, so they're happy. One of the great quotes of all time from great philosopher Ozzie Guillen. But with the Red Sox, you know, you're looking at pitching. Now you're going to Bedard. 3.56 at Camden, lowest with a guy.
Bring it on, baby.
And you guys know all about him, coming off a 7 days rest last time, pitched against Baltimore. It's really just interesting to watch how things have imploded there. And Terry Francona, on paper, they had a great squad. Obviously, they've had a couple of hits to the pitching staff, and then you've got all the tabloidal stuff that's happened to a couple of their starters, including Bedard, over the last couple of weeks. So it's just been a very strange set of circumstances and, you know, meaningful baseball in the final days in Baltimore. Look, it's not that they're challenging for the playoffs, but they get to help decide it. And they've scored the fourth most runs in the month of September. Got to feel good about that.
And Orioles hitting them home runs, too, with Reynolds and Weeders and J.J. Hardy. A little offense for Bedard to be worried about. But we're never worried about FoxSports.com and Swollen Dome. Tell everybody about the websites, Mike.
We're going into the video studio today to line up week four. Maybe I'll get some Torrey Smith love in there while I'm at it. Joe Flacco as well. But we'll do starts and sits and a little factor fantasy. You can tweet me over at Swollen Dome, and we'll get those up into the mix. A lineup calls a little later on FoxSports.com. And then on Swollen Dome, I'm also going to go into the historic season that is Adam Dunn and how just a change to Carlos Pena or Mark Reynolds or one of these other strikeout kings might have made the difference for the White Sox. Tonight, Adam Dunn will try to break the team record for strikeouts in a season set by Dave Nicholson so many years ago.
Dave Nicholson, the outfielder, who I believe was an Oriole farmhand way back when.
Oh, he started his career there for a couple years. You got it.
All right, so, Mike. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Be well, fellas.